Well, good morning, everybody. So, in a slight change to plans, which might confuse and disturb, I hopefully won't, Steve is not at all well today, so he is not here with us. So I'm going to be leading the service in its main part. But because of that, we're all going to stay in here, and we are all going to take part in the discussion that I would otherwise be doing in the hall, if that makes sense. So rather than having Steve preach a sermon, we're going to, at that time in the service, we're going to break into sort of groups around about between 6 and 8. So just, you know, in your area of the church. You might need to move a little bit just so that we can. Push are going to go through into the foyer area back there by the kitchen with Dave Ford. But at that time, so don't worry, I'll give you the signal. And we're going to discuss those questions together after watching the video together. I hope that what it will do is, for those of you who are perhaps a little bit worried about, you know, taking part in a discussion group, that you'll see the appeal of it. All right, it's not scary. It's actually a really good way of ourselves engaging with the Bible, not necessarily always being told what the Bible says and what we should believe, but actually ourselves grappling with some of those sometimes quite difficult questions. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. And I know that for some of us, it might be a little bit out of our comfort zones, but let's embrace it. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together today. We thank you for your presence with us because you've promised to be with us when we are gathered together in your name. And Lord, we just pray that today you will be at the center of everything we do as we gather around your table later on. Meet with us in the person of your Holy Spirit, we pray, and feed us afresh, we pray, from your word. Amen. So I'm going to start by reading the verses that we're going to be looking at together, following on from where we were last week in Philippians. So the Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. They will be coming back at various times in the service as well, so don't worry too much if you don't follow it all. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's a difficult one, isn't it? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And this is beautiful. Listen to this. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Isn't that great? I want to be a star in the sky. As you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. And then Paul talks about sending Epaphroditus back to them to help meet their needs and to be able to share the gospel with them. Which we will hear a little bit more about later. But I think one thing that really sticks out at me, and the theme of what we're thinking about today, is this idea that if we are called to be Jesus' disciples, followers of Jesus, we are called to obedience. We are called to keep on being everything that Jesus wants us to be. Obviously, we are not left on our own to do that. Jesus in his spirit helps us. But Paul's concern is that they continue to obey. So, just sharing with you then a verse from John. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, the Middle Eastern shepherd leads his sheep rather than drives them. I think we have this idea when we think of a shepherd that they send their dogs, you know, either side, and then they're behind the sheep going, away here, and all that. But a Middle Eastern shepherd does it very differently, does it from the front, leads the sheep, and then keeps an eye on them to make sure that they don't stray. But the important thing is he's always talking to them, and they know his voice. And that is our relationship with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And of course, in Psalm 23, we have another image of the Good Shepherd. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Now, my question to you, I wonder if you've ever thought about this. Why is it that the sheep are comforted by the rod and the staff? Because we might think of the rod and the staff as being a thing of punishment, mightn't we? You know, spare the rod, spoil the child, all of that. So why does the shepherd's rod bring comfort? Because I think it lies in the fact that that rod is used, or that crook is used, for two reasons. It's used to protect the sheep when they are attacked, but it's also used to bring them back into the fold if they are straying. You know, they get the crook around the neck of the sheep and gently lead it back. So we can never stray too far into the scariness beyond if we are followers of Jesus, because his shepherd's crook is always there to lead us back and to guide us. And because of that, we can trust in him. And that's going to be the thought that we sing together in the first song, "The Lord's My Shepherd." So let's stand and sing.
My shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust. Trust in you, trust in you. For you're in this mercy, follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints. Though I walk the darkest path,
Disciple is one who follows a master, and we follow Jesus the master. And as the sheep follow the shepherd, let us always be found following our good shepherd Jesus. And part of that is in allowing the Spirit to guide our behavior, guide our thoughts, guide our words. And the words of the next song reflect that. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bless your name. Bless your name, Jesus, and the deeds of the day and the truth in my ways speak of you, Jesus. So let's sing this very much as a prayer. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bless your name. If you're here, could we have church life, please? Morning.
Yeah, they give a black switch on a black microphone.
Yeah.
Right. How many times do we come across those kind of things? Never mind. All right. Good morning to anybody who's joining us on Zoom. And would you like to join me in saying, hello, God bless you. Right. Thank you. Right. And then, can anybody clock me walking up with a magic mop refill? It's not a cleaning party I'm organising, but... Apparently, we've got it's surplus, so if somebody needs a Vileda mop refill, I'm going to leave it on the seat at the back and you help yourself, okay? Right. Right. Moving on to more important things. Right.
Ooh.
Okay. Moving on. Right. Right. Okay. Child safeguarding, that will give you... Right. So, another further reminder, we have, for those involved, currently involved, whatever level, with children and young people's work here, we have child safeguarding training on Saturday, the 14th of March. So please if you haven't let Jane already know that you're coming, please let her know. So it'll be a morning, it'll be a good time for learning. So, and even if you're not currently involved but are interested in, it'd be a good thing to do now. So I encourage you to participate. All right. Sue Tierney will be having some bags for sale to donate donations to Global Care at the end of the service. So please join her with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea at the end of the service and have a look at the display and help yourself and purchase something. Okay. Our usual weekly groups have got Connect on Thursday evenings. Yes, Mark? Yep. Yep. In the church lounge. What time? 7:30. Okay. And Saturday morning prayer. So that's this week. You're not leading it. There is one there. Okay. Right. Okay, so it'll be on the notice sheet anyway, so... Right. Anybody got any celebrations this week? Birthdays, anniversaries? No, passing driving tests, anything? Right, we'll celebrate everything. We celebrate everything in the Lord's presence. Right, we're now going to take a financial offering for the Lord's work in this church, for this community. If you haven't come ready, prepared, don't worry. Just let the bag pass by you and we'll commit the offering together. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, David. Let's stand and sing worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of
People who live in the way of Jesus. People who are able to say, you are our master, you are our leader, you are our guide, you are our king. So, Lord, have lordship in us, we pray. And Lord, as we as a church seek to follow you this year, I pray that you will lead us, you will guide us, you will be the one who is at the center of everything we do as a church body here. Lord, we pray for all of those in our number who are not well and who are not with us. We pray particularly for Steve today, as he is so poorly with this horrible virus. Lord, we pray for David Owen and for everybody else, Lord, Ailsa, for Sarah, for those who just can't be with us, Lord, every week. And we just ask you to pour out your spirit and your healing touch on their lives. Lord, we know that you are the great physician and that you are able to do it. So we pray for your healing touch on all of them. Lord, we pray that in everything, your people will shine like stars. Lord, that we desperately need in this country and in this world for your people to be those shining stars. Lord, to be behaving in a way and standing up for what is right that reflects your glory. So help us to reflect your glory in our own lives day to day. In the way that we interact with each other, with those outside the church, with government, Lord, in everything that we do, may we be reflectors of your glory. Amen. We're going to come now to communion. So please take your seats. And as we come to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us, may we place our own lives at his feet. May we truly follow the Master and become servants to each other as he was. And this meal teaches us and reminds us of the servanthood of Jesus, that he came and gave up everything. As we were thinking last week, that he became nothing and took on the form of a servant, and being made in likeness as a human, as a man, he became obedient even to death on a cross. But it doesn't stop there, because then it talks about how every knee will bow at the name of Jesus and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this, like the center, this reminds us of that death on the cross, which is the center of that wonderful poem, the poetic words that Paul uses, as you thought last week. This also reflects the hope that we have, because in Jesus and in everything he gave up for us, becoming the servant king, we know that we can also share in that glory. So Jesus, remember, knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And that's what happened just before he shared this meal with his disciples of his. So let's stand, if you're able to, and we'll sing as we come to prepare our hearts for this. From heaven you came, helpless babe.
This is the God.
We'll get the kids to go out at this point. Push, you're obviously staying in with us. So children, if you'd like to leave now and with whoever is taking them. Thanks, David. But Push is staying in here for the time being. And if I could be joined by the people who are helping me with communion. I'm not sure that we, in today's day and age, or perhaps we've got used to the stories, we quite get the radicalness of what Jesus did when he washed his disciples' feet. This is their master, the one they have followed for 3 years, taking off most of his clothes and washing their feet, you know, becoming a slave, becoming their servant. That was the lowest of the lowest jobs in that time and in that place. And that is what this represents, that Jesus gave up everything and he became our servant, if you like, and became obedient to death on the cross. So that's, as we come before this meal and share it together, let's remember that Jesus held nothing back and he calls us to do the same. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." See what I mean about it? Reflecting as well the glory that we will share with Jesus one day. Because he's going to share this meal with us. That's the promise. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you held nothing back and that you became the servant of all. And you became obedient to death on the cross. But we thank you, Lord, that from that all of our life flows and all of our hope, all of the promise that you have placed in our hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death on the cross that we remember with joy as well as sorrow today. So, Lord, as we share this bread together, Lord, I pray that you will remind us again of that great sacrifice. We thank you for that sacrifice, for your body broken on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we take the bread around, please do eat as you receive it. Thanks. Lord Jesus, as we thank you for your body broken on the cross. Lord, we thank you too for the blood that flowed and that watered the ground below that cross. What it must have meant for your Father to look down and see what we'd done to you. But that he knew, and you knew, that all of this was for our salvation. And that that blood would not only bring us forgiveness from our sins, but bring us back into your kingdom of light. So we thank you with thankful hearts, Lord, for your blood that was shed for us. Amen. So as we receive the wine, we're going to, as normal, hold on to it, and we'll share it all together as a sign of our unity in Jesus. Thank you. So let's drink together and remember Jesus given for us. So thank you, Lord, for bringing us again to this meal, to your table. when we remember your death, but we also look forward to your resurrection and your coming in glory. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us through the example of this table that to be servants of each other, just as you were the servant of all. Amen. So we're going to collect in those cups. And as we do, if you want to sort of do a little bit of moving around, if you need to get yourself as a group of 6 or 8 so that we can to have that discussion time together. So it looks like we've got a sort of fairly good group there. Maybe we've got 5 over there. But I don't know whether or not, David, you wanted to come and join the discussion or not. It's up to you. And we've got a fairly good group there as well, and pretty good group there, but we may want to split up if you want to. And I have also got, if it would help, some leaders' notes for Zoe. Can I give these to you? For over there. Jane, if I give those to you, so there's some leader's notes. So, I've just given Jane the leader's notes there. Okay, so I'm going to keep things moving, as I said I would. I mean, we could discuss that for a long time, I know. But I think one thing that really comes out to me with this is the idea that we desire. You know, once we've become followers of Jesus, we actually want to change the way we live. We want to become those stars that shine in the sky. I love that idea of being attractive. I mean, no, obviously I am. Drop dead attractive, but you know what I mean. You know. Anyway, let's go on to the next question. Now, what does it mean? And I think this is a really good question because I don't really know myself what this means. How do we work our, or why do we work our salvation out with fear and trembling? What does Paul mean by that? Over to you. Okay, so what have we got out of that then? We've talked about some things like respect, so that maybe we might use different words nowadays. I thought maybe it reflects the sense that we have to be really serious about working out our salvation. It's not something we should take glibly and lightly, you know. And that idea of saying, well, we can keep go on sinning because God's forgiven everything, that's really the stereotype of taking it glibly, isn't it? And lightly, and not taking it. But what has anybody got anything they'd like to share about this and what they have come up with? No, okay. But, I mean, what I'd really encourage you is to keep on discussing these things. If something's touched a nerve, keep on discussing it over coffee. Keep on thinking about it during the week. I mean, I'm hoping as well that you guys are doing the little sort of interim bits and pieces, you know, looking at the verses during the week as well, because they're really useful. We do your Thursdays on the Connect group, and they're really good, aren't they, Jane? It leads to a really good extra discussion. Right, let's go on to question 3. What is it that enables us to shine like stars in the sky, according to verses 14 to 16? So what is it that actually ignites us to become those stars? Over to you. give you a few more seconds to think about that together, and then we'll pull that together. So, I think in answer to this, we have to go back to what Paul says. And Brenda's just been sharing with the group over there about how easy it is to be caught up in other people's grumbling. But let's face it, we find it quite easy to grumble as well, don't we? I know I do. Helen will tell you that. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. My goodness me. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine like stars. But it doesn't leave it there. Because what does it say in verse 16? As you hold firmly to the word of life. So we need to be building our lives on the word of life. We need to be engaging with the Bible. You know, as I've often said to you guys, don't beat yourselves up if you can't read the Bible every day. But try and engage with it during the week, because it is so important. I could talk sort of forever about that, but I'm not going to. Anyway, let's move on to question 4. Why do you think Paul talks about his friends Timothy and Epaphroditus in verses 9 to 30? Because he spends a lot of time talking about them, doesn't he? Actually, as long as, if not longer, talking about them as about us and how we need to shine like stars. So I think what he is saying is, there's a question asked, how do they shine like stars? They are examples of what we should be aspiring to. So what is it about them that Paul pulls out? Over to you. So I'm going to speed us on, because we've got one more question to have a think about after this, possibly two actually. But so I hope what you've pulled out there is the idea that, as we heard in the video, Timothy was Paul's fellow worker, but he was there with him, sort of in that father-son relationship almost. And that Paul goes as far as saying, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone else looks out for their own interests, not for those of Jesus. You know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And he says very much the same about Epaphroditus, who risked his life to share the gospel and to be the gospel, really, to Paul himself. His brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger. So, if we want to live up to being stars in the sky, they're the sorts of examples that we need to be following. And they're hard. They're hard to follow those. They're not easy. So thank God that we're not left on our own. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. Let's move on, please, Josh. Jesus commanded his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. And he also said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. How does the second quote help us obey the first? So how does the mouth speaks what the heart is full of help us to obey the first? Oh, I like this. This is a good one. Right, so pulling you together again. I'm really sorry that it feels like this is a whistle-stop tour. But I really would encourage you to reread this week and to think again about these questions. You know, if you've been in a habit of making some notes in your books as well, because remember they do belong to you, then do that or re-look at those notes. But what did we get out of this idea about how does that quote from Luke, if we could go back to the last one, please, Josh, how does that quote from Luke help us to do the first bit? Mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And then go and make disciples. What do we reckon?
I think it's quite similar to when you're falling in love. You get up to start speaking about
it. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that. So if your heart is full of Jesus,
that's it.
It naturally comes out to the point that everyone is going to say you're pretty boring.
Yeah. And thanks, Josh. And that's exactly it. But it's not easy, is it? I mean, I'm completely hopeless at being an evangelist. I get all tongue-tied and I don't try most of the time because I'm just scared of what people will say. But, you know, I think once you get excited about something again, and I think, you know, we need to pray for each other that we will get excited about the gospel, get excited about our faith in Jesus, and then, you know, it becomes much more natural to talk about it. My house group are bored of me talking about this podcast I'm listening to at the moment, but it's made me excited about reading the Bible again. I am loving the Bible through this podcast. If you want to know where it is, ask me afterwards, because it's fantastic. But despite that, whatever, you know, I can sort of feel the truth of this, that once you get excited about something and once you fall in love again with the Bible, with the gospel, it becomes so much easier to share it. Okay, so let's move on to question 6. And that's the one we're going to leave with. And this is really, as we're going to draw together the close together here, this is what I want you to take away with you. I want you to be thinking about how we can actually put this into practice. This week, what are some practical ways we can fill our hearts with Jesus Christ so that we can help to make disciples of others? So thinking about what we've just talked about, filling ourselves with the gospel, getting excited about the gospel again. How can we do that? Yours. Over to you. All right, I'm looking at the time, and those poor, well, Dave Lewis is going to be grumbling and not shining like a star in the night because he's had the kids out there for an hour already. Oh, he's just had Hannah. Okay. Oh. Well, they'll have had great fun, I'm sure. Well, let's draw this together. So I just want to encourage you. I hope today has been encouraging. I found it really encouraging, I have to say. You know, the thought that actually we can shine like stars. We can be attractive as Christians. Do you ever think of yourself as being an attractive Christian? I don't think I do. But we can be, and we are called to be. And it's about centering ourselves on the Word of God, making sure that we are engaging with the Bible as often as we can, and filling ourselves with the gospel and with the joy of the gospel as well. So I think if I'm going to pray together for us, that today each of us individually will re-experience, is that right? Anyway, you know what I mean. The joy of the gospel, that it can excite us and ignite us again. So let's pray together as we leave. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for today and for the way that you've drawn us together. Thank you for the fact that you have helped us to engage with this discussion and that you've led us through these ideas through Paul's inspired words. Lord, thank you for this promise that we can shine for you and be stars in the sky. And Lord, help us to be excited and filled with the gospel of Christ. Lord, help us to be reignited with that enthusiasm, perhaps, that we haven't had for some time, if we've been Christians for a while. Lord, reignite us by the power of your Spirit so that we are filled with you and with the joy of you, and that just bursts out as we share you with others. So help us today, Lord, to think of practical ways in which we can fill ourselves with you, but also be reaching out with you to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, thanks everybody. So please do stay.